We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. Working with us also on this program is Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. He'll be running the chat room and helping us from the time to time with various things concerning the program. We're airing tonight on KTX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford. We're also broadcasting on the Gospel Radio Network. And starting next Monday, we're going to be also airing on KWBY 98.5 FM and 107.9 FM out of Stephenville, Texas. And we're excited about that. And also coming in mid-July, we're going to be airing on another radio program in Lubbock, Texas. It is the old original Buddy Holly station, and we'll be airing up in the Lubbock area as well in July. And so we are getting the broadcast out to the masses, and we're we praise God.
Amen.
For the abilities that have been given us to get the gospel and the message out there in this lost and dying world. And David, in our society today, we need the saving message of the gospel.
No doubt about that. And we heard last couple of weeks ago how badly we needed that, and we've been hearing it ever since. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight.
That's exactly right. And our motto is, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now remember, this is a live call-in program, and if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to call. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also send us questions to our email addresses at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, we won't answer those tonight, but if you have questions or even topics that you would like for us to discuss, we will be more than happy to address those. questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now also at the Gospel Radio Network, there is a chat room that you can sign up and be a part of and ask questions. We've got some friends and some old friends I see coming on. We've got some people I know from other places I've preached in the past that have just signed on, and we're happy to be on the program tonight. We also want to mention that our additional sponsors, we have additional sponsors from the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ located on Ten Top Road in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Now, we want to remember also people that are coming in and helping us out in every kind of way that we possibly can. We remember that we have a blog also that you can check in from thepreacherspc.org. Well, last week, David, we began discussing a topic that is very timely, very important to what's happening in our world today. You know, on June the 26th, a very sad day occurred in the history of the United States of America, where the Supreme Court voted to legalize homosexual marriages. And we began discussing this issue by looking at an episode from the Old Testament concerning the prophet Micaiah. And and Micaiah said in 1 Kings 22, verse 14, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says unto me, that will I speak." Mm-hmm. Now, David Micaiah said that in response to what he was being asked to say to King Ahab, and tell King Ahab, well, it's okay, you're going to win the battle, wanted him to tell a lie.
Right. It was a court of false prophets is what it was that was asking him to tell a lie. And he says, no. He says, what the Lord says, that's the way I'm going to speak. And that should be the battle cry of each and every one of us. And when we look at this homosexual marriage, this was one of the darkest days in history for the United States of America as far as morality goes. And we can look and we can see already that this is not the end of this. It's just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And we're going to see some of this in our lesson tonight, program tonight, and it's not to scare people, it's to make people aware and to give a warning out there that we need to be aware and we need to be armed with the Word of God to offset this stuff when it comes our way.
You know, David, we have always been taught that the Supreme Court was honorable, deserving our esteem, and was always our ultimate protection mm-hmm. against bad or evil law. But this court, which has been handpicked by our president, consists of radical homosexuals, homosexual champions who ignore and who disgrace the highest law of the land, which is the Constitution of the United States of America. And the president and also the Supreme Court did all of this against the will of the people.
Now, we're not saying that he picked all nine justices. What we are saying here, though, is that he put the justices on there that would tip the scales in his favor.
Exactly right. And so we see what kind of dilemma that we find ourselves in. You know, Dave, we also mentioned last week that the Supreme Court forgot to define marriage before they decided to redefine marriage. Mm-hmm. And why do you think, David, that they did not want to define marriage?
The only true definition of marriage that you'll ever find is going to be found in the Bible. They did not want to have to go to the Bible to do anything that they were trying to do, and so they were not going to pull up a definition from the book, the good book, to be able to undo something that was already done.
You know, the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 24, that there shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, one flesh, David. Today we heard you talk about another kind of flesh, and what was that?
That was strange flesh.
And that's exactly what we have when a male and a male unite, or a female and a female unite. That is strange flesh. Mm-hmm. God says there is to be one flesh between a male and a female, and Jesus restates that biblical truth in Matthew chapter 19, doesn't he?
In verse number 4, he says, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, wherefore there are no more two, but one flesh. Therefore, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder, or let not man separate." They're one flesh.
You know, so we see here, David, that the Supreme Court has done a great disjustice to the United States of America. And they have also done injustice to the God of heaven and to every Christian person who wants to stand for what is right and true morally. But David, you know, when we think about this issue that we began discussing last week, mm-hmm. what happened here by them ruling to make homosexual marriages legal? And by the way, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA Bible. That's 1-855-QA Bible. Now, what the world may not realize and what they need to realize is that when the Supreme Court made it legal and made it law where a homosexuals could get married, what they have done is they have opened up Pandora's box.
No doubt. And one of the reasons is because they refuse to define marriage.
Exactly right. And David, you know, what we find here is something very horrible now taking place as a result of what has taken place on this date, on June the 26th.
Right.
And what we find here, David, is now using the same tactics used by homosexual right activists, now pedophiles have begun to seek similar status, arguing their desire for children is a sexual orientation no different than heterosexual or homosexual.
Well, now, notice who's wanting their equal rights now. And this can just go on and on just as hard as you want to push it. But really, the Supreme Court has no recourse now because they have opened this up to homosexual marriage because they didn't define marriage, now they have opened it up to anyone. And their rationalization here is not the Constitution so much as it is the way that a union of love should triumph. More than any other thing. And so they have begun to seek similar status, arguing that their desire for children is a sexual orientation.
You know, the gay community or the gay advocates have taken offense at such a position of the pedophile having an alternative lifestyle status, insisting that this would never happen. However, psychiatrists are now beginning to advocate redefining pedophiles in the same way homosexuality was redefined several years ago. Now, David, several years ago, the definition of homosexuality and their classification changed, didn't it?
It did. And for years, it was just like this. The American Psychiatric Association did not declassify homosexuality from its list of mental disorders until 1973. Now get this, up until 1973, the prestigious American Psychiatric Association declared homosexuality to be a mental disorder, along with a long list of other mental disorders. Homosexuality was right in there. And a group of psychiatrists with this organization called Before You Act recently held a symposium proposing a new definition of pedophilia in the Diagnostic and the Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders of the American Psychiatric Association. Did you get that? It's a new mental disorder in the association, the American Psychiatric Association, as was homosexuality a mental disorder up until 1973.
You know, and that's a little bit scary. Well, not a little bit, it's a whole lot scary.
Yes.
And, you know, David, where does this all stop? You know, in 1988, the AP issued a report claiming that the negative potential of adult sex with children was overstated, and that the vast majority of both men and women reported no negative sexual effects from childhood sexual abuse experiences. Now, David, that's a flat-out lie.
It's a horrible lie. It is a horrible lie to say that children had no negative sexual effects from childhood because of sexual abuse from an adult. In other words, according to this American Psychiatric Association now, any child is fair game. Your child, your grandchild, it is fair game. Now, if they declare this to be a right, then your child, your grandchild, or somebody else's grandchild could be raped by a pedophile, and there would be no recourse legally, no recourse according to this bunch, that you could have anything to do, because this was just a part of his sexual orientation and this is what he wanted and he wasn't going to be denied.
Now, if you think we're overreacting to this and we don't have evidence for this, just hold on to your britches, because in just a moment we're going to talk about how the Republicans attempted to stop this and the Democrats vetoed it and it came on through. Now they're going to be protected. But David, you know, when we think about the children, and how that they can be so mistreated. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, it says, "But who shall cause one of these little ones that believeth on me to stumble? It is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck, and that he should be sunk in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling. For it must needs be that occasions come, but woe to that man through whom these occasions come." You know, Jesus likened several times the children unto those of the kingdom of God.
No doubt.
And he's highly protected of that. You know, Kay Westmoreland on the chat room has said something that we've been talking about back and forth, and he said, "I'm sure bestiality will be next to be mainstream for the main animal rights extremists." Kind of ironic, isn't it? You know, people, you know, they're always save the whales, but well, now can a man go out there and abuse a beast and be all right and be under a protected status?
Well, if it weren't for the animal rights group, it would be. But think about this for just a moment. Right now, today, in the United States of America, animals have more rights than human beings. And I'll give you a case in point. You may not disturb the nest of a bald eagle. It is a federal offense. But you can rip the child out of a mother's womb, and it is lawful. There's no law against that. Now, where is the rationale behind this? We are all upside down in our country and in our society right now because, Tom, we have refused to speak out when we had the opportunity to speak out, and now people want to speak out. It's a good thing that people want to speak out. I think we waited a little bit long, but I think that if we go ahead and speak out now, we're going to have an effect, but it's going to take all of us to do it.
You know, you remember in the book of Judges where it says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes? That's what we're happening here. We don't care about what truth is. We don't care about, I'm saying we editorial, we the world, don't care about what the Bible says or what God thinks. It's what they want.
Right.
And so that's how they can say, okay, let's kill the babies, but let's save the buzzard. You know, that idea comes by only doing what you want to do. Well, Dave, we're thinking about this idea of these pedophiles and being granted a protected status. The Republicans attempted to add an amendment specifying that pedophilia is not covered as an orientation. However, the amendment was defeated by the Democrats. Now, there was a Republican, Elise Hastings.
A representative.
What did she say, David?
Elise Hastings, she is a Democrat from Florida, stated that all alternative sexual lifestyles should be protected under the law. Quote, "This bill addresses our resolve to end violence based on prejudice and to guarantee that all Americans, regardless of race, color, religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability, all have these philias and fetishes and isms that were put forward need not live in fear because of who they are. I urge my colleagues to vote in favor of this rule." Now, the irony of this is just like I mentioned just a moment ago, the bald eagle is under a protective order. It has a protective status in the United States of America. Now, it's the animal that has the protective status. The normal The normal red-blooded American and his family do not have the same protected status as do homosexuals, transgenders, bisexuals, and every other deviant kind of thing of immoral behavior that you can come up with, according to these Democrats and this Elise Hastings, the Democrat of Florida in particular. We don't have the rights that they have.
You know, she says, so that they need not live in fear. Well, you know, if this is true of the pedophiles, there's going to be fear in every parent with every child. Because if a pedophile has protection under the law, what can we do about protecting our children? You know, so we see how what kind of a dilemma we're in. And, David, this is just the tip of the iceberg to what's going to happen to our society if we, as God's people, don't stand up right now. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But remember, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
That's a toll-free number.
Exactly. We'd love for you to call in. I think it'll be helpful to the program, and we want to check out our system better anyway. Now, David, the White House praised the bill, saying, at root, this isn't just about our laws. This is about who we are as a people. This is about whether we value one another, whether we embrace our differences rather than allowing them to become a source of animus. You know, whether we value one another, you know, what they're doing is picking who they really want to value.
Amen.
Because, you know, they'll value the homosexual and the pedophile. But have you noticed, David, the kind of ridicule and the hate that's going toward Christians these days?
Yes.
Where is the love? Where is the value? Where is the protection for the Christian?
Anyone who would stand for righteousness, they're being undercut and undercut severely. Now, it's interesting to note that the White House praises this bill because in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, after the information is given to us there about the homosexuals and the homosexual lifestyle and what is going to happen to them in verses 26 and 27. As a matter of fact, let me just read this to you. It says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of reward of their error which was not meet. Now notice verse number 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. So then, everybody that gives their stamp of approval to this homosexual lifestyle and to the homosexual marriage and to this thing called pedophilia that they're trying to get as another kind of a lifestyle, anybody that throws in with them is condemned to hell as well, unless they repent before they die.
So there we have a situation of people who are not necessarily being involved in the evil, the actual sin, but they're okay with it, right?
Yes, they're okay with it. Now, here we see that the White House praised the bill.
Mm-hmm.
The White House. That's your White House, my White House, the people that are in there that are representing you and me as Americans. Now, it is an absolute truth, and we can look through the Bible and go as many places as we want to go, that we can show that every time that the Israelites, every time that the Israel nation, every time that they had an evil king that was leading the people, God gave them over to the enemy. And one of the places that is recorded here in chapter 2 Kings chapter 24, it says here that in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, now he was the enemy of the Israelites. He came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Now, tell us who this Jehoiakim is before we go on with this.
Well, Jehoiakim is king of Israel. And he's a man who was, well, he was approached by a prophet one time, wasn't he? And he was given the word of God in the book of Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he read what was read, what did he do? He cut it up with his penknife, and he threw it into the fire. Now, here's a man, David, who was given what the Bible had said, what God had said about this. But when it occurred, when he had had God's word given to him, he ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what's going on in our day, isn't it? That our king, our president, has the word of God. Our Congress, our Senate has the word of God, but they're ignoring it. But what's sad here, David, when we look at this situation here, what happened to Israel and Judah over the years when their king would not abide by the God of heaven?
Well, when their king trampled underfoot the word of God, mm-hmm. just as they did the Constitution of the United States of America. We go on to see here in verse 2, it says, the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites, bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did.
You know, how many times have you looked, not only in biblical history, David, but also in secular history, that when the kings or the presidents, the nations,
the leaders,
began to stray away from biblical principles, destruction was inevitable.
No doubt.
And I'm afraid that if we don't change right away and very quickly, that America is in for the same difficulty that the nations have had in the past. I mean, we're on that trail right now.
Yes, and on it pretty hard, too. Now, you know, when we look at this, Tom, we want to also look at Obadiah.
Yes.
In the book of Obadiah, in verse number 11, Obadiah makes a statement there that is chilling, really. In the day, basically, in verse number 10, it says, for your violence against your brother Jacob. Now, he's talking to the Edomites. Shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. And in the day that you stood on the other side. In other words, the Edomites chose a side. It was the side that was opposite of God's side. They took a choice. They made a choice. They took a side, and the side that they chose was with the side of the world and not with the side of God's people. He said, on the day that you stood on the other side, you became destroyed.
And it says there in the last part of that verse, even thou wast as one of them.
Mm-hmm. You're just like one of them. And by the way, isn't that pretty much what it said over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32?
Exactly right. You know, David, there's two aspects to this. You know, we can be, people can be like the government and be happy about and promote homosexuality, even though they may not be homosexuals themselves, but they're promoting it. That's mm-hmm. one type of people, and they are just like them. But then there's the other kind of people who don't necessarily agree with it, they don't necessarily like it, but they don't speak out.
Mm-hmm.
David, that's one of our biggest, perhaps if not our biggest problem in our world today, is that Christians are not speaking out. You know, you think about homosexuals, they're only about 2% of the population.
Right.
And yet look what they're doing in propagating their illicit and disgusting lifestyle. It's because they're speaking out. They're fighting for what they want to do. If Christians would use that same kind of vigor, and fight against these things, I believe with all my heart we can be victorious. But all of us, not just preachers, all of us need to stand up and be counted and say, this shall not happen, no matter what the consequences.
Well, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me, he scatters abroad. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just exactly what you're talking about here. Those individuals, those immoral individuals in this country, and they don't consider themselves to be immoral because they say, well, I am not participating in the homosexual lifestyle. No, but you are approving of it. You have chosen a side. You have painted your Facebook page with the rainbow colors, even though you're not a homosexual. And there are millions of them out there that are trying to support and uphold this ludicrous, reprehensible judgment that was rendered by the Supreme Court by these people, and they don't think that they're doing wrong. But Jesus said, if you're not with me, you are against me, and you cannot straddle the fence.
You are giving your voice of approval by saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
In the long ago, a man by the name of Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. David, it's time for good men to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for men like you and me and Frank, people like Denny and other gospel preachers out there in our world today to stand up and be counted. And it's time for just the plain old Joe. Plain old person, the farmer, the psychiatrist, the doctor, the nurse, whatever, to speak up and say, we've had enough of this. We're getting back to the Bible. And what you, President Obama, is doing, what you, Supreme Court, is doing is wrong. It is contrary to God's law, and we will not have it anymore. We need to have that kind of mentality go like wildfire in our country.
Yeah, yes, we do. We do. And when we look at this, and there are so many admonitions in the Bible when he says, it says, you stood on the other side. If you're not with me, you're against me. And if you're not with me, you're scattering abroad. In other words, you're just making all kinds of vain attempts to be called what you are not. Yeah. There are a lot of people that would like to be called Christians and say that they have no problem with the homosexual lifestyle. You can't have it that way.
Exactly.
God won't have you have it that way.
But you know, David, this mentality of trying to have it my way or being silent, it has not only affected our moral issues, it has affected religion in general, has it not?
No doubt.
And, you know, we talked about that some today, how that it not only affects, our status in homosexuality and making it legal to marry, but it also affects our homes and how parents raise their children. It affects how people look at the Bible. You know, if a group of people look at the Bible, and there are a lot of people who claim to be religious and look at the Bible and say, I don't see anything wrong with homosexuality. Well, they're going to look at the Bible and say, you know, I don't see anything wrong with committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong with having fornication with a woman who I'm not married to. They're not going to see anything wrong with lying.
Pedophilia.
The list could go on because it's a mentality of not respecting the authority of God. And doesn't it all get back? Do we or do we not respect God's authority?
Amen. And if we don't respect God's authority, we're no part of the Christian family.
Exactly right.
You cannot be a part of the Christian family if you don't have the Word of God to be the standard of our life. And we have already seen in the few verses that we have read that the standard of life for the homosexual is not conducive to Christianity.
Exactly right. You know, when we think about this idea of Christianity and immorality and homosexuality, you know, we need to realize, David, that if we don't get back to the book, we're going to be in big trouble. We've got to realize that our world needs God. Our world needs the Bible, and not until our government, not until our national government, our local government, and families, and yea, individually get back to the book, we're never going to be able to solve this difficulty. You know, Dave, but you know, we're talking about all of the difficulties that are arising as a result of this ruling by the Supreme Court. You know, we have another incident, David, that's very disturbing about the Kleins, a couple in Oregon who refused to sell a wedding cake to a homosexual couple. And David, what happened in that scenario? What was the ruling when these homosexual couples filed a lawsuit against the Kleins?
Well, last Thursday, by the way, and this has been going on since 2013, before homosexual marriage was even legal here. But last Thursday, the Oregon Labor Commissioner, Brad Avakian, issued his final decision on the punishment just in time for Independence Day and only days after the Supreme Court endorsed gay marriage. The Kleins, now these are the individuals that had the business, the bakery business. The Kleins said that they must pay a fine of $135,000 in, quote, emotional damages to the couple they denied service. The alleged suffering included, now we're not kidding about this, this is in the document, the alleged suffering included acute loss of confidence, doubt, excessive sleep, loss of sleep, felt mentally raped, dirty and shameful, high blood pressure, impaired digestion, loss of appetite, migraine headaches, pale and sick at home after work, resumption of smoking habits, shock, stunned, surprised, uncertainty, weight gain, and worry.
Mm-hmm.
And they got $130,000, $35,000 as a rendering of that a fine for what they did. And all they did was refuse to bake a cake.
You know, and not only that, David, and that's just ridiculous, they were also given a gag order.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into that gag order, I think there's something I want to mention on the chat room. Kay Westmoreland said, it can be tough to speak up. Many of us were raised in the church, struggled through the years of substandard preachers and teachers telling us not to offend others by teaching what we know to be the truth. And David, does not that lie, therein lie the problem to mm-hmm. what's much going on in our world today? We have a bunch of sissy boy preachers out there who are not willing to speak up and be true. And people are getting filled with that day after day. They don't have the guts. They don't have what they need to speak up because they've not been taught so. And they've been taught it's unloving. You know, we got to get along. You know, grace will cover everything. Well, that kind of mentality has caused great trouble. You know, getting to this situation here, David, with the Kleins, you know, when they are told that they cannot speak out any longer, that's not terrible surprising, really, because the Kleins... the pro-homosexual group was always speaking against them, and what the Kleins have lost was their First Amendment rights, right?
Yes.
You know, they want the homosexuals to be able to speak. They want them to have their rights, but the rights of other people are violated. You know, are they not violating Christians' rights of their belief in Christianity as to whom is right or wrong concerning the Bible?
Well, this Oregon Labor Commissioner, Brad Avakian, he previously stated his desire to, quote, rehabilitate the Kleins and his association and his association with, quote, the Basic Rights Oregon, a pro-homosexual group and he wrote, quote, "The Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industry hereby orders to cease and desist from publishing, circulating, issuing, or displaying, or causing to be published any communication to the effect that any of the accommodations will be refused, withheld from, or denied to, or that any discrimination can be made against any person on account of their sexual orientation." And so he wants to rehabilitate these people because he thinks there's something wrong with them because they refuse to bake a cake because of their religious convictions.
And so, because you will not abide by what we say, we're not going to let you sell anymore. Now, mm-hmm. David, does that not sound just a little bit familiar?
Yes, it does. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 14, or verse 17, excuse me, here's what John was revealed. It says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." In other words, you had to have a stamp of approval by something that was immoral before you could buy anything or before you could sell anything or before you could be in any kind of commerce whatsoever. And this is exactly what has happened to the Kleins. They can't sell anything now until they get a stamp of approval from the homosexual voice, which is backed by the government of Oregon and this Acadian in particular.
So you're saying they need the mark of the rainbow before they can sell their goods, right?
Pretty much. That's pretty much what it covers.
It's a sad state of affairs. You know, this idea, this is effectively stripping us of all of our First Amendment rights. That's what the Klein said. David, one of the things that the Kleins said that I think is very important, it says, "We will not give up this fight. We will not be silent." This is what the Kleins are saying in response, even though they've been given a gag order. "We stand for God's truth, God's word, and freedom for all Americans. We are here to obey God, not man. And we will not conform to this world. If we were to lose everything, it would be totally worth it for our Lord who gave his one and only Son, Jesus, for us. God will win this fight."
Now, they are to be upheld as upstanding citizens of the United States of America for saying what they said.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we need, America needs that kind of courage to stand up and to fight. If we don't do that, David, he said in this statement they said there, we must obey God rather than man. You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 5 and about verse 28, did it not?
29.
The apostles said, we must obey God rather than man. But you know, David, that was not the first time they were threatened, was it?
No. In chapter 4, they were threatened again. And not only threatened, they were released after they were threatened. And they told them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And they turned it right back on them and said, whether it be right for us to speak out in God's name or not, you be the judge here. Mm-hmm. You know, you just be the judge. And it just threw it right back in their face in chapter 4 and verse number, what was it? Verse number, I'll find it here in just a second. It was right there by me. It's in chapter 4. I believe it's in verse 18. Here we go. "And they called them in. They commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we had heard." And verse 21, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing, how that they might punish them. But because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. And so a very similar situation has occurred before, and it will occur over and over and over and over again.
You know, the Klein's resolve reminds us of the Declaration of Independence itself.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Now, David, that's what we need to fight this fight. All of us working together and realizing we must obey God rather than man.
Rather than man.
You know, there
Absolutely.
Might be some people, David, who might think that we hate homosexuals, but we don't. Matter of fact, we love homosexuals. You know, the Church of Christ, it not only loves homosexuals, but we also love fornicators. We love idolaters.
Mm-hmm.
We love adulterers. We love sodomites and thieves and covetous, those who are covetous, and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. David, we love all unrighteous people. Why?
Well, because we have also been guilty of unrighteousness. That's one thing. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But because God first loved the world. Now, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he, by his grace, has taught us how to become a righteous lot of people. And for this, we should be eternally grateful and desire to share this soul-saving information with others. Now, when you say we love homosexuals, we don't love what they're doing.
No.
When we say we love murderers, we don't love what they're doing. When we say that we love drunkards, we don't love what they're doing, and neither does God.
That's right. We love their soul enough to be able to teach them how they can get out of that sinful situation. You know, David, when we think about people like the homosexuals and the thieves, I can't help but think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, it says, or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice this. And such were some of you.
Mm-hmm.
But ye were washed. But ye were sanctified. But ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You see, David, somebody loved those homosexuals and adulterers enough to teach them of the soul-saving gospel. To teach them what God required of them. That's how we can say that we love the homosexual. We don't love their actions. We love them enough to preach the gospel to them and to show them. Don't we need to show people that they're evil?
Well, what we need to understand what the gospel has to say here. In Titus chapter 2, in verse number 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men,
mm-hmm.
which would include all the people that we're talking about here, teaching us. Now, there's what we're talking about, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, that would eliminate homosexuality. That would eliminate fornication. That would eliminate adultery. That would eliminate all of the things that you talked about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. It would eliminate all of those things. But then he says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you can't misunderstand that. And for any individual who claim that they are religious or that they are approving of this homosexual marriage and the homosexual lifestyle, they can't read the gospel and get what they want to get out of it. It just is not there.
Exactly right. You know, David, the issue of homosexuality and same-sex marriage is a moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
God's law concerning morals are everlasting. Moral laws never change. It has always been wrong to kill. It has always been wrong to steal. It has always been wrong to commit adultery. It has always been wrong to practice homosexuality. From the beginning of time, marriage has always been one man and one woman for life. David, that's where this whole issue of the last 2 weeks started, homosexual marriage. It has always been wrong to marry someone of the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think, David, how horrible, how filthy, how nasty homosexuality is. When you think about a man and a man, you know, what a man is wanting is what? He's desiring the filth part of a man. You know, how disgusting is that? How evil is that? You know, that is just flat out not right. That just shows you how depraved that kind of lifestyle is.
Well, it shows you what can happen when you lust for the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, homosexuality is not a civil issue. Comparing it to the treatment of different races. Now, we read a passage just a moment ago. We read a part of that that article that was put out about this pedophilia, and we noticed here that sexual orientation is a protected class. And it says here, let me read you this, what this Representative Elise Hastings, Democrat from Florida, had to say again, quote, "This bill addresses our resolve to end violence based on prejudice and to guarantee that all Americans, regardless of race, color, religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity or disability, or all of these philias and fetishes and isms that were put forward need not to live in fear because of who they are."
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, and that's where they, you know, isn't the liberals and those homosexuals and those of that idea, they're always trying to cloud the issue, aren't they?
Sure.
You know, and even by changing the terms, they have been calling it homosexual or gay.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, when they have finally gotten their desires, they're going back to what it really is, queer. You know, don't call them queer. That's not nice. They call themselves queer.
Yes.
But before what occurred, what they wanted, they didn't use the word queer because it had a bad connotation. They would say gay, but now it's okay for them to call, say, queer because they've gotten what they wanted.
Well, then they need to give us the word gay back where we can use it like it was intended to be.
And give up the rainbow so it can be used the way God intended it to be used.
Amen.
As a promise and
Amen.
Not as some sexual, immoral thing.
Well, you know, this homosexual issue, this civil issue that they're trying to make out of it, comparing it to a race, it's not the same thing. People have no decision over their race, but they do have the ability to abstain or to commit sexual acts. An individual can cease from practicing homosexuality. And you read that just a moment ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, "And such were some of you." But they stopped it. They repented of the things that they were doing, and they quit being what we like to tag as a homosexual here. They quit being abhorrent is all in the world they quit being.
You know, and God does not condemn what man cannot control.
Absolutely.
And so man has the freedom to choose. And in that light, The practice of homosexuality is not genetic. It is a learned behavior. No reputable scientific study has ever drawn any other conclusion. We know that this message is not popular in today's changing culture, but God, He has not changed, has He? Malachi 3 and verse 6. Therefore, we have no choice, do we, David?
No.
But to speak up regardless of what man may deem right or wrong. We're going to speak what God says, and no matter what man shall do, we must obey God rather than man.
Amen.
Acts 5 and verse 29.
You know, Tom, it is not unloving. It is not mean-spirited. It is not prejudice, hateful, or unrighteous judgment to oppose sin.
Got a telephone call.
Okay, we've got a telephone call here. Caller, would you please give us your name, your first name, and your question or your comment, please?
Yes, sir. My name is Rusty, and I live on top of Ranger Hill. I wasn't going to call in. I ain't called in 100 times. But you're right. See, sex is a choice.
Amen.
And if you have are you still there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, see, if you have sex, it's because you choose to have sex. And if you choose to have sex, that means you choose your partner.
Agreed.
That means it's a choice. It is not something you inherit from your mom and your daddy. It is not a defect that God built into your system.
Amen to that.
It is your choice.
You are absolutely right.
Anyway,
Rusty.
That's all I had to say. I wanted to agree with y'all.
Well, Rusty, we appreciate you calling, and we encourage you to continue to listening to the program and call in as often as you can. This is a problem that we now have in the United States of America that we're going to have to look at head on. And Rusty, people like you need to speak out just like everybody else does, and we need to get this thing back on track.
Well, now, you know, sir, I'm a full-blood Southern Baptist.
Okay.
And we're pretty much the same on most everything. And I agree with y'all's theology pretty much. And all the stuff I differ on is it's minor. I don't think it matters.
Well, I know
but
one thing that matters.
Homosexuality, it's an abomination in the eyes of God and nature.
Right.
If a person's even an atheist, they're going to worship nature. Nature will reject the homosexual. They die out. They breed themselves into non-existence.
Well, you're right about that.
It is a choice.
You're right about that. There is one thing, though. You know, if we don't abide by the authority of the Bible in every instance, you see, this is what can happen. We throw a little bit out here and a little bit out there. Before you know it, homosexuality is okay because we kind of pick and choose what we want. And it's all about the authority of the Bible, Rusty, don't you think?
Well, the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, Rusty,
that's the Word of God.
Rusty, we're happy
and,
to have you.
I'm not going to call God a liar.
No, sir.
Well, we're about out of time, Rusty. Rusty
is going to answer.
Well, Rusty, we're going to have to go. We're out of time. We're out of time, Rusty. We thank you for your call. We appreciate you very much.
It was great to have all of you in our audience tonight. We're coming up to the wire. We had a good program tonight, I believe. We want you to keep listening, keep calling in. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions at harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station.